Our Bibles this morning are going to be in a couple different places. We'll start in Romans chapter number 12 and getting right back into where we left off before our revival. Didn't you enjoy that revival meeting? Amen. It was good. I was helped by every message and I was really sad that when it kind of came to an end. But anyway, God just used his word and I'm thankful for it. And I just had a really good response and the Densons enjoyed their time and they're back home. He texts me every Sunday morning. And so we talked a little this morning and they were ready to get back to the normal at their church as well. And so anyway, getting right back into our study on the spiritual gifts here. And so we're all the way down to the gift of knowledge. You just have a few of these gifts remaining. To go through and then kind of a concluding lesson that hopefully brings it all together. But let's start in Romans 12 and just to get the context. Now, the gift we're looking at this morning is the gift of knowledge, and it's not mentioned here in this passage. So we're going to go Romans 12, then we're going to flip over to 1 Corinthians 12. So you might go ahead and find that, and we'll read 1 Corinthians 12 that mentions the gift of knowledge. And then we'll get right into it. But I like to read Romans 12 because I want to remind us why God has given us these gifts. Romans 12, verse 4. Oh, well, let me say, happy Father's Day. It's a day, isn't it? It's Father's Day. So to all our fathers today, happy Father's Day. Hope you have a great day. And we'll say more about that in the morning service. Okay, now, Romans 12. Look down to verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Okay, so he's already stated then some of the purpose. He's put some people in the body in the church so that and we're not all the same. We have differing gifts, and the purpose of those gifts is that we might help one another to grow. That the church would function the way God wants. Now, having then gifts according to the grace is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. According to the proportion of faith or ministry, let us weigh it on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So we've looked at all of those gifts in previous lessons. Now flip over to 1 Corinthians 4, just a few pages to the right. Sorry, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12. Now Paul here in 1 Corinthians, he's really doing some corrective teaching. When you look at what Paul's doing, he's doing some corrective teaching here because they were using their gifts improperly. There's things mentioned in here that we discussed in our first lesson, especially the things about the miraculous gifts and so on. But notice in this passage that it's mentioned that there's a gift of knowledge. Look at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And let's just pause and think about what he's saying there. We all have different gifts, but it's the same Spirit that's given us the gifts. And it's that same Spirit that uses the gifts. So the gifts will work together. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, it all is going to work in the same direction. All right. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. So just pause for a second. I know I'm stopping a lot when we're reading the text, but preachers are real good at making you look up and down. And want to make sure your neck is nice and warm before we get going, you know. But think about this. Aren't you glad not everyone has to get up on Sunday and preach the sermons? I mean, that'd be a long service, wouldn't it? No, it's not everyone's gift. That's not the giftedness, and that's not the calling. And so there's a lot of things that happen, and it's not just within the context of an 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock service. It's just being the church and following Christ. There's differences of gifts, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. It's all for the same purpose. Okay, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, and there's the one that we're looking at this morning, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. The whole reason is that we would profit with all that, we would bring forth fruit and glorify God by using our gifts. So let's pray, ask the Lord to bless our lesson today. Father, I just thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you for just the week that we've experienced, and thank you for Pastor Denson coming and preaching through our revival. And I do believe, Lord, that the word was clearly proclaimed and passionately proclaimed. And I believe the Spirit was working. And so, Lord, the prayer now is that we would respond, that we would allow you to change us through what we've learned and heard, how we've been convicted. Father, as we now continue in our series here on Sunday mornings, looking at these spiritual gifts, we pray that once again, your Spirit would lead us and teach us, help us to understand your word. And Father, help us to then implement these things into our daily walk, and help us to use and serve using our gifts here in the local church. And Lord, from Monday through Saturday, as we go out into the world, Lord, we're still the church and we're still to be serving and doing. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll just help this to just be a part of our spiritual growth. And Lord, that we could identify what we've got and use them for your glory. Please be with me as I teach today. Give me clarity of thought and heart, and just help me, Lord, as I just try to explain and proclaim what you've given me. Well, thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Paul mentions here the gift of wisdom, and he also mentions the gift of knowledge. We're working on the gift of knowledge. If you will, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 13 as well, where he mentions the gift again. Just real quick, he doesn't say a lot about it, but in 1 Corinthians 13, of course, is what we call the love chapter, the chapter on biblical love or charity. And he's talking about the importance of love. And he mentions in the first couple of verses the gift of knowledge. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all, here's the word, knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So notice in verse 2 there, he's mentioning a couple of the gifts. Prophecy, he mentions knowledge, and he mentions faith. But when he mentions prophecy and knowledge, sandwiched between the two is this phrase, understanding all mysteries. All right, so the gift of knowledge in your notes there, and I gave you, I pretty much print out for you mostly the notes that I have. And so this should all be there for you. I'm just going to read it with you. The gift of knowledge is the God-given ability to study the Word of God and gain the full meaning of the text and context. Those with the gift of knowledge have a keen ability to break down words and phrases, passages and truths, and are able to help others understand as well. And that's an important part of the gift of knowledge, is the purpose is not that we would just sort of fill up our minds with all this information, but that we could speak and teach and help others to learn what God is teaching us. The Christian with the gift of knowledge will usually be a habitual student of the Word, trained in things like biblical languages, history, archaeology, and theology. Some are trained formally, and some have little formal education. The focus is on the gift, not the training. In other words, whether formally trained or not, this person would have a God-given passion and ability to study and understand God's Word. And so, if you will, turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, because as I said there, they would take this admonition very seriously. And in 2 Timothy 2, he's talking about studying to show thyself approved. And so just look at it with me, 2 Timothy 2. So again, the gift of knowledge is a gift that God's given people so that they might understand God's word and then be able to explain those things to others. So the gift of knowledge and the gift of teaching are very much related. Most people that have one have some of the other, because because there's a purpose in it, not just to know, but to help others. So I reference 2 Timothy 2 because not only does it talk about the need to study, and by the way, this is a command not just to those with the gift of knowledge, it's a command to all of us that we need to study God's word. And there's a reason we need to study God's word. If I, you know, went in my office every week and I studied God's word and God showed me a bunch of cool stuff and I learned about God and I learned about the Christian life and the Bible, and I thought, man, this is great. And then I just closed the door, went home, never told anyone. Well, maybe I have been helped, but I'm not being much of a help in the church. And so the purpose behind these gifts is that they would be a help to others. And so 2 Timothy 2, but look at verse 14. Verse 15 is the verse I referenced. Just back up to verse 14. Actually, I think I'll just read down through the end of the chapter because it gives the full purpose of this. It says in verse 14, of these things, put them in remembrance. Remember, Paul's talking to a young pastor. He's like, Put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to subverting of the hearers. Okay? Did you know there's words without profit? You ever been in a conversation and you thought, this is fruitless. This is going nowhere. We are wasting our time in this conversation. Okay, he's saying, don't do that. Rather, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a work that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that would be really, really priority for the one who's gifted in the gift of knowledge, that they would study. They want to know what God says. They want to be able to rightly divide the word. What does the Bible say? Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings. There's a lot of those. Profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. So he's giving some instruction. We're going to keep reading, but I want to slow us down so we understand what he's saying. He's like, there's certain conversations that are vain babblings, profane babblings. I mean, worthless. They're maybe it's false doctrine. Here he's referencing some false teaching about the resurrection. And he's saying that there's some that are saying the resurrection has happened already. And he even named them. Aren't you glad your name isn't in the Bible right next to some of that kind of instruction? But he's saying, here's how we combat that false doctrine, is that we would study. We would need to know ourselves. What does the Bible say? Verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He's kind of talking about false teachers, and he says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet, notice this, for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So he's like, you go into a house, there's cups of gold and silver. There's also wood and stone. There's some that are honorable, some that are dishonorable. You know, there's some that you would want to use, and there's some that you would not want to use. So he's like, purge yourself from these vain babblings and false teachers. And he's like, get rid of that and just study to show thyself approved, that you might be able to be used of the master. He gives him some more instruction. Verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Notice this. This thought is prevalent through this passage. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. I've had these conversations, spiritual Bible conversations, where someone is just being rebellious against the truth of God's word. And so rather than wanting to talk about what does God's word say, they just like to answer. You say, is there such thing as a... And now, if you genuinely have a question about the Bible or about God, or there's no dumb questions there, but what he's getting at is there's some that they just want to talk about things that don't matter, or ask questions to try to trip you up, or whatever the case is. And he's saying there's some that they're just foolish and unlearned questions. Avoid those and just keep going back to the Bible. And I've done that. I've gone talked to people where I just keep going back to, okay, but what does the scripture say? What does the scripture say? What does this verse say? What does that verse say? And it's you get to a point where I have said that, I know you're like, you're a horrible counselor. I've said this to people. You're wasting your time and my time at this point. You don't want to hear what God's word has to say? Well, guess what? I'm here to tell you what it has to say. So if you don't want to hear that, then I'll pray with you and we can be done, because we're wasting each other's time. These foolish and unlearned questions avoid. That's what he said. Okay, so all of this is based upon this idea that we need to study the scriptures. And this is what the person with the gift of knowledge gives themselves to. Here's the point. Verse 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to, what's the word? Teach. Patient. In meekness, what's the word? Instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. All right, so the person with the gift of knowledge would have this understanding. I need to know this book. I need to know this book so that I can help others, so I can instruct others in the things of God. And they're naturally going to be drawn to studying the Word. So under the definition there, I said one with the gift of knowledge has the God-given and supernatural ability to perceive and understand the meaning of God's Word and thereby help others understand as well. Now let's look at the purpose of the gift of knowledge. The purpose of the gift of knowledge. And go to, I know I have Isaiah 28, 9 through, well, let's just, we'll look at both. Isaiah 28, go back to Isaiah 28, and then I'm going to share with you a different passage. Because Isaiah 28, the reason I pointed this out is because it really shows the heart of someone who is a student of God's Word, okay? Isaiah 28, look at verse 9, looking at the purpose here. We already really have understood the purpose that they can take some of these more difficult passages or complex thoughts that are in the Scripture and understand them and compare Scripture with Scripture and come to a conclusion so that they might instruct someone else in a simple way. Here's what the Bible is saying. All right, Isaiah 29 and verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge? Okay, what's that person like, the person that he'll teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. So this is someone who's older, more mature in the faith, okay? Here's interesting passage, verse 10. And here's how we should study the Bible, by the way. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little. That is how we should study and seek to understand the Bible. Precept upon precept, line upon line. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, we could look into what that verse means, but it's very simply this. Let me see, what does the Bible say? What we need and what will help us if we would just look at the words of the Bible. And you know, when you're teaching kids and that, I don't know if it's kindergarten or first grade, they start learning how to read some words. And they learn the meaning of those words. Maybe they already know some of the meanings of those words, but they learn how to spell them, put them together. And then at some grade level, they start putting words into sentences, right? And start creating some thoughts with putting words together. Well, we need to know, what words did God use and how did he structure these sentences? What is he saying line upon line, precept upon precept? So that's why, you know, at this church, we do expository preaching. We're just going to take a passage of Scripture. Now, I say that, and then this morning in Father's Day message, I'm going to bounce all over the place. But normally, it is our practice and our study to just take a passage of Scripture. This afternoon, that's what we're going to do out of 1 John chapter number 3. We're going to go line upon line, precept upon precept. We're just going to work out the text. What is God telling us? Because that's what we all need. Line upon line, precept upon precept. And why it's repeated there and there's, you know, not just one precept, but another precept is because there's a principle of Bible study that the Bible interprets the Bible. We compare Scripture with Scripture. We find a passage over here and we think, you know, what does that passage mean? What could that be? And Pastor Denson did that this week. I noticed in several of his messages, when he was talking about the water and the blood on the cross, if you remember, he was talking about the water and the blood, and there's all these ideas, and I've got a bunch of commentaries in my office too. You get in there, and it's like, well, the blood is the Lord's Supper, and the water is the baptism, and that's the ordinances of the church. And before long, you get, but the question is, where did you get that? You got that in your imagination. Now, do I believe in the Lord's Supper? Yes, it's in the Bible. Do I believe in baptism? Absolutely. But does that passage have anything to do with either of those things? No. So Pastor Denson came to the conclusion that the water and the blood signified that he was dead already. And he talked about, remember, the fountain, the life that came from the fountain. Where did he get that? Well, if you remember, guess what he did? He went to another passage of Scripture that mentioned the water and the blood and the fountain. And he compared line upon line, precept upon precept. And maybe you didn't know what was going on, but I was over there going, yep, I knew where he was going, but I didn't know where what passage he was going to use. And so I was so happy to write down that cross reference, because guess what? That's going to then go in my Bible, because now I have a new line upon line, precept upon precept reference, so that I can know, okay, that's what that means. So the Bible interprets the Bible, line upon line, precept upon precept. Go to Nehemiah chapter 8. And somehow or another, when I was doing that, I just totally turned my Bible to a new place. Okay, Nehemiah. So right after the Chronicles there, Ezra, then Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 8. Again, the gift of knowledge, and I know it's very similar to the gift of teaching that we've already talked about. But to be able to teach, you got to be able to understand, and really that comes from a gift of knowledge. Nehemiah 8, and look at verse 5. See, I'm real bad. Look at verse 5, then I'll start talking. I got to get better about that. Anyway, these people have come back to Jerusalem. They need to know what to do. That's where they are. They've come back from the captivity, and they need to know what to do. So notice what they do. Look at verse 5. We could go back to verse 4. Ezra stood on a pulpit of wood. Okay, that you wonder why we preach from a pulpit. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And by the way, Ezra stood on the pulpit. I know I'm short. That may help if we just start standing on the pulpit. Oh, this is a lectern. Ah, okay, so I'm on the pulpit. Good, thank you. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. Why? Because that's what they need. They need the book. You don't need Jeremy Gilbert's opinion to get you through this week. Now, I got some opinions I'll share with you if you'd like, but that's not what you need. You know what you need? You need God's word this week. Okay, so they opened the book in the sight of all people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. On Sunday morning, when we stand for the reading of God's word, we get the principle from right here. Verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up of their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And also, now I struggle through these names, but let me try. And also Jeshua and Benai and Sherebiah and Jamin and Akub, Shebathiah, Hodijah. I practice these. Maaseiah, Kalida, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites. Okay, all those people were involved. They did this. Caused the people to, what is the word? Understand the law. And the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God, look at this word, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. What's just being described there about reading in the book of the law distinctly, we're going to pay attention to the words. Words are important in your Bible. We're going to pay attention to the words. We're going to be careful even about the punctuation and the tense and the context. We're going to read the book distinctly, give the sense, and cause them to understand the reading. That's what they did. And so that's what someone with the gift of knowledge and similarly with the gift of teaching will do. So under the purpose there, obviously God wants his people to understand his word. While all believers have the ability to understand God's word, and that's true, you and your Bible and the Holy Spirit, you can understand what God is saying to you, and you should study. But remember over there in Ephesians, the verses that we are memorizing on Sunday morning, God's given pastors and teachers and evangelists. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints. He's ordained this thing called preaching. He's told us to teach all nations. And so there's teachers, there's preachers. Some have a supernatural gift to understand and make plain the difficult passages of the Bible. These people often also have the gift of teaching because their purpose is to help others understand. These are they which write commentaries, books, curriculum. I don't hide for this, but you got some blanks here. Those with the gift of teaching may have more of an ability to communicate truth practically, where those with the gift of knowledge study simply to understand. And so really what's needed is both. You need some understanding, and then you need some practical teaching. But there are people who really don't do much teaching, but they're great students of the word, and they write books. And they write things that explain. But what are they doing when they write those books? They're teaching, right? They're teaching. Okay. So some Bible characters had this gift, and I'm going to let you look up these passages just for sake of time. But I said this, and we could look at a bunch of, I mean, obviously, I feel like the Apostle Paul was so gifted, we could almost have him be the example every week. And there's others in the scripture that are the same way. The heroes of the Bible were just so gifted, we could kind of point to any of them. But I just thought this was an interesting way to do this. The human writers of scripture had the gift of knowledge in a unique way, okay? So they got the gift that God, and you can look it up if you want, 2 Peter 1:21, the Holy Ghost moved, that he spake through these men, these holy men were moved as the Holy Ghost spake. So they were given this knowledge directly from God, and they wrote down the Bible, okay? Now, we know that we have the completed word in our hand this morning. We have it. So since the closing of the canon, and we're not adding new books to the Bible, the gift is not the same, or it's not receiving new revelation, but understanding the truth previously revealed. So your blanks there are the human writers of Scripture. And then today, the emphasis on understanding the truth previously revealed. And so I gave for you an example of the church at Berea from Acts chapter number 17. And if you know, if you remember the story, so Paul goes to Thessalonica. He leaves because of persecution. Later, he finds himself in Berea. And it says that those in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And you think, man, how is that? Because Thessalonica is a great church. You read those two books of the Thessalonians, and Paul has so much praise for them, and they did so many things well. But the notable thing about the Bereans was what? Does anyone remember? They were students of their Bible. Paul would preach something. He would explain something, or maybe one of the other disciples there would explain or teach or preach something. And those Bereans, man, they'd go home and they'd go, now listen here. Now they didn't have, you understand, they didn't have a King James Bible, 66 books in six different covers in their house. But they had passages, parchments, maybe some scripture written that they copied onto some piece of parchment, or maybe onto some piece of leather. They had some copy that of something, and they had some Old Testament text, and so they would go back and they'd say, now you remember what Paul said? Let's see what the Bible says. Let's see if this all lines up. And you know, that's a good thing to do. A lot of people would be very much helped by listening to what church teaches, and just go home and see if those things are so. I mean, that would do a lot of people a lot of good, because so much of what's taught and preached in 2024 does not line up with the scriptures. And so if they were just like the Bereans, who would go and say, look, we have a mandate here, or a command to study the Bible to make sure that we're not just believing some person, but we're understanding the Word of God. And so, again, that you could point to the church at Berea, this gift of knowledge. They wanted to understand the truth, and they went and studied. And by the way, if you say, well, the gift of knowledge is just not my gift, anyone like to study? Yeah, good, all right. Only one per. I love to study. I could sit in my office for hours and not talk to anyone and just study. I love it, I enjoy it. Now, I didn't enjoy it in college. It wasn't my calling. I was just doing something God, I thought was me, you know. But yeah, if you, these people said, no, let's not just hear the message. Let's go home and study. Let's go home and figure this thing out. And so it's an indication, may have the gift of knowledge. All right, let's look at some characteristics. And so I have some slides for you here. And again, remember, looking at characteristics, and then we look at misunderstandings and precautions. All right, characteristics of those with the gift of knowledge. People with the gift of knowledge possess the ability to seek out, gather, organize, and clarify information concerning the meaning of God's written word. And I made the point to say God's written word here, because these people don't, just like we read in 2 Timothy, they're not going to delve too much in human philosophy. Okay, these aren't philosophers. These aren't people who are sitting there and they've got really no truth in front of them, and they're just in their mind trying to imagine how it all is. Okay, that's a different thing. I don't know what that's something that's not in the scripture. Actually, it is in the scriptures, but it's not looked upon well. These people, their study, their passion, their desire is connected to God's word. They want to understand God's word. What does it say? Who cares what, you know, this other person says? Who cares? What does God's word say? And so they'll be very interested in Bible teachers on those subjects. But you have to tie back to God's word. It's a spiritual gift. All right. Number two, the gift of knowledge is the capability of grasping the meaning of God's word. Now, everyone can do this. If you don't have the gift of knowledge, you shouldn't say, well, I just can't understand the scriptures. I promise you, if you pray, you ask the Lord to help you, you're in the Spirit and you're reading the Bible, He's going to help you to understand things. But those are the gift of knowledge. It's sort of their life's purpose to go and study and dig out all those nuggets that are in there, you know, that and then they can help others understand as well. Number three, people gifted with knowledge possess the ability to communicate to others keen insights into the meaning of the biblical text. All right, so they, like I said, a lot of them have, a lot of them are also teachers, but maybe not. It could be that they write commentaries or charts. I know a couple of people who are just really, really good with charts. And, you know, they'll just lay out things and they'll, it's like anything that God shows them, they got to draw some kind of picture about it. And they got charts and lines and, you know, points of reference and, I got a couple books in my office that it's just chart after chart of just cool Bible truth that someone, that's just how they thought and they just spelled it out. And so, again, that's a way to communicate the truth. Number four, people with the gift of knowledge are good at compiling notes, outlines, and in some cases, writing commentaries. They like notes and outlines. You know, in college, they always told you, you're supposed to take notes. Which of y'all in high school, in school in general, took notes during class? All right, some. Who didn't? I need to know. Steve. No. Yeah. You know, those are the gift of knowledge. They're note takers. They're gonna want to write things down. I look at my two daughters. They're note takers. I'm already like, man, they might be a couple of knowledgeable young women. During the revival, they're over there. I don't even know what they're writing, but they're down over there writing notes. And I got to look, and they had more notes than I did. And I thought, what am I missing here? I'm missing something. But no, they're just good note takers. And all six messages, they were over there taking notes, except for I think Sunday school, they weren't in there, but they're taking notes. And I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, I don't command them to do that as their dad. That's just something they like to do. Anyway, so you may, you know, maybe an indication that you have this gift. Number five, the gift of knowledge is foundational for all Christian teaching and preaching. We have no business teaching and preaching if we don't know what we're teaching and preaching, basically is what that means. So it's foundational. Number six, people with this gift enjoy difficult questions about God's word and can find answers more easily than others. All right, so those are some of the characteristics. And now let's look at a couple of the misunderstandings and precautions. Number one is kind of a way that some of the charismatic folks have twisted the gift of knowledge. Okay, is this one. And just to show you that there's zero in the Bible about this, okay? The gift of knowledge is sometimes misunderstood as the ability to mysteriously learn of the illnesses and problems of others, okay? So Jesus, right, with the woman at the well, the woman says, I have no husband. He says, thou hast answered right. Thou hast had five husbands. Okay. That's not the gift of knowledge. That's Jesus. Okay. I'm just, no, for real. He's omniscient. I almost said he's omnipotent too, but he's omniscient. He just knows. Some today would say, oh, I have the gift of knowledge. And then there's some kind of soothsayer or you have this illness or whatever. That's not the case. And it's not in the Bible. Now, I don't mean to say Jesus doesn't have the gift of knowledge. You understand, he's God. He has all gifts fully. I don't even know if you call them gifts or just say that's his person. But we don't misconstrue this gift into something that it's not. Someone that's going to come up and start telling you all about your problems and things like that. It's not what the gift is. The gift, again, is tied to the Word of God. All right, number two. People with the gift of knowledge may be particularly vulnerable to pride in their display of their knowledge. And you might have noticed this, but that is a precaution of all the gifts. Every gift, it's like, well, like the giver. Well, they're prone to pride because why? Well, did you see how much I gave toward that? You know, they're prone to pride. All the gifts, God, they're gifts. They're abilities that God has given us through the Spirit, and we need to make sure and remember they are from the Spirit, not of us. You know, so there's no reason to be prideful. They're just things that God's given us. Everything that we have is something that we have received. You might say it like that. All right, number three. People with the gift of knowledge may have the tendency to gather biblical facts just for the sake of information. They've probably got a file cabinet somewhere that no one's ever looked into. They just keep filing away stuff that they figured out. And why is that a problem? Well, the purpose of the gift is to be a help to others and bring others along in their faith. And so, again, just a volume of knowledge somewhere. It's like it doesn't do any good if it's not passed to someone else, right? And so, you know, there's certain things that, I'll say this, like my grandmother is a wonderful cook, wonderful. She made cakes my whole life. She can make cake that, you know, when you eat it, it elevates you to some plane. It's light, it's sweet, it's just so good. She can make pies. Like, I'm telling you, if you're not into pies, it's because you ain't had a good one yet. She can make pie that the crust, I mean, you would just say, give me the crust and I'll be happy. And I told my wife one day, I was like, you got to learn how to make some of this stuff. Nanny is 95. You know, she's not always going to be here. We got this needs to be passed down. We got to, my grandmother is actually doing very well at 95 and may outlive us all. But man, you don't want those secrets to go unpassed, right? That's kind of what we're talking about. Nanan, if you're watching, I love you. Hope that you keep making pies. All right. What are we on? Oh, number four. People with the gift of knowledge are sometimes criticized as being so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. You ever met someone that's just always sticking their nose in a book and kind of hard to have a conversation with? That's kind of the idea. It's just always in a book. It's interesting because you got the prophet who he's ready to preach and tell. And so it's like, I know pastors who don't, they're prophets. That's their main gift. And they love to get something out of God's word, and then they're ready to go proclaim and preach. This no one that you've met, because everyone that you've met, they're students of God's word. But I know pastors that are like, I just don't like to study. Now, I like to get up and preach, but I don't enjoy study. Well, that's because that's not their gift. Their gift is maybe prophecy or exhortation or something like that. And so they would look at these guys that are always got their nose in the book like, man, it's not doing you much good. Get out there and tell someone about it, right? That's kind of the idea. It's behind number four, just a precaution. Number five, people with the gift of knowledge must be careful not to be too critical of others' teaching and preaching, hindering their own ability to grow through others. That's very true. Maybe a pastor's preaching a section that this person has really studied in and they figured it all out. And the pastor's message was good and all, but they missed this point, right? They missed this word. They didn't really bring out this word. Well, here's the deal. God leads the pastor to preach what he preaches. And you don't get every word every time. And so it could be that you know, something comes up, well, you missed this. And the pastor's thinking, yeah, but did you get the rest of it? Because God wanted you to get the rest of it, you know. And so just a precaution. So then where does the gifted serve best in the church, the knowledge gifted? Really anywhere that teaching, discipling, any kind of a place where that is involved, you need the gift of knowledge. So we'll stop there for this morning on the gift of knowledge, and I'll give you a break here, and then we'll have a service. Yes, Miss Lily. Were those with the gift of knowledge study simply to understand? The word understand. Yes, ma'am. Any other blanks we missed? Yes? Yep. The second one is previously, but only understanding of truth previously revealed. Any others? We got time. Look how early I did good today. I've been trying to be better about Sunday school because I'm rushing Brother Tim back there switching all the stuff over between services, so I got to watch out. I can go all day, y'all. I promise you. We'd be here till midnight. Lord, thank you for your goodness. We pray you bless us now as we dismiss. Help us, Father, just to meet with you today. We pray you'd meet with us, that you'd be here, that you'd instruct us in your word. We thank you for fathers and Lord, the men in our church that are striving to be godly fathers. We thank you for that. And Lord, we just thank you for being our heavenly Father. Lord, that while many didn't have a perfect father or perfect upbringing, God, we all have a perfect heavenly Father we can be very, very thankful for. Help us today as we worship you and we do all the things that we do in church to admonish the brethren. We pray for your blessing in all of it. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you are dismissed. We'll take a short break and then church at 11.